Rose was in existential distress that fateful winter when her would-be earthly master, Robert Martin, passed away. The place, coastal South Carolina, the year 1852. We do not know Rose's family name, or the place of her birth, or the year of her death. Such is the case with a vast majority of African and Indigenous American women who were bought, sold, and exploited by the hundreds of thousands. But we can be sure that Rose faced the deep kind of trouble that no one in our present time knows, and only an enslaved woman has seen. Rose knew that she or her little girl, Ashley, could be next on the auction block, the cold device enslavers turned to when their finances faltered. Ripping families apart was a common practice in a society structured by, and indeed dependent on, the legalized captivity of people deemed inferior, and a sale could not have been the end of Rose's worries or the worst of her fears. She must have dreaded what could occur during this relocation and after: the physical cruelty, sexual assault, malnourishment, mental splintering, and even death that was the lot of so many young women deemed slaves. Rose and Ashley's life together, already encased by swales of suffering, could be torn asunder in a matter of moments with the stroke of a pen. Their lives apart portended even worse without the bonds of family. Rose adored this daughter and desperately sought to keep her safe. But what could safety possibly mean in a place at a time when a girl not yet 10 years old could be lawfully caged and bartered? What would Rose do to protect her child? What could she do as an unfree woman with no social standing, political power, economic means, or cultural currency, positioned in the trenches of unpredictable and insurmountable difficulty? The kind of fix Rose was in, life-threatening and soul-stealing, was one that Black women like her had continually encountered over more than two centuries of life in America. It was a fix articulated by the few enslaved women who managed to escape and tell their stories in the 19th century, and later by Black women thinkers and artists who drew sustenance from the writings of these cultural ancestors in the generations that followed, including our own. How does a person treated like chattel express and enact a human ethic? What does an individual who is deeply devalued insist upon as her set of values? How does a woman, demeaned and cowed, face the abyss and still give love? Rose's actions, outlined in a single and unusual text, and barely preserved for history, give us a sense. When the auction block loomed on her little family's horizon, Rose gathered all of her resources, material, emotional, and spiritual, and packed an emergency kit for the future. She gave that bag to her daughter, Ashley, who carried it and passed it down across the generations. Rose possessed inner strength and creativity, even as calamity struck. Saving another's life meant acting despite despair, and she dreamed up means of survival as well as spiritual sustenance. Surely Rose felt that what she did was far too little, much too late. Surely she feared that a battered bag would not matter enough in the end. But Rose pressed on, matching the mettle of an entrenched slave society with a glimmering will of her own. And although we cannot know exactly how events unfolded, we can conclude that Rose's gift did affect her descendants' lives, no matter how inconsequential her act of packing may have felt in the moment. For three generations later, a great-granddaughter of hers, Ruth Middleton, created a remarkable written record attesting to Rose's deed. Ruth's chronicle is evidence of a long-term effect that Rose herself would never see. Her female line would continue against all odds, and her will to love would be carried forward.